You confused me for a little while because I think you had like multiple pages.
I do.
Yeah, and at that time I'm like, wait a minute, which one is this? Like I lost like kind of track for a little bit. But for a little bit, even until now before we recorded this, I thought you were doing the lash business, and I knew you did business coaching. I knew you did life coaching like I did in the past. And I said, man, at some point she had to jump the ship. And it's funny when you laughed earlier when we were talking. And I said, yeah, you didn't take the slave paycheck. Because I said the other day, I said, you know, it's really crazy. We're passed down all these, you know, traditions, generational curses that say, hey, man, you need to go to school and then get a job and then go to college or go to college, get a job, get a marriage, have kids, buy a house, have kids. And I said, and then you find most people in their 30s and 40s like, oh, this sucks. Like, what am I doing? And then they have all these.
I feel like you're telling my life story.
And then you know what's it's fucked
that
up
was me.
Because people, even some in their 30s, still want to follow that pattern. And then in their 40s, they realize, oh, this sucks. But I'm like, where? And over the last handful of years, and that's why I divorced a lot and don't try to follow these patterns. And yeah, I know it's you know, it's a good pattern.
Tallying up. You're really good at marriage.
This, though. I said this before. People can criticize me, whatever. I said, you know, I probably wouldn't take advice about a car if a dude only owned one. You know, if a dude owned a few, I might want to know, you know, you're going to go take your car to a mechanic that only worked on one car? No, man, I want to know who drove the most cars and worked on them. Joke.
Right? You figured out all the ways they don't work.
If you want to know about women, I probably dated every single type there is. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I get accused of that shit, even behind my back. Whatever. People like to talk shit, but
zero judgment. Yeah. Who are they to speak?
It's funny when you say that because we walk into so many topics. Because for everybody out there, we don't do a script. Me and her are just talking shit, and this is what I think people really love is when people are real. You're not following a script. You're not reading off a screen, and we're not selling anything here. We're just having real conversations and about real life and where we're going. And I'll tell you, it's like, even when you just mentioned judgment, I don't care what people think of me, because I know if you're judging me, God damn, you're probably judging yourself, judge yourself all the time. And they do, you know, just trying to, you know, pass some introspection. I'm not charging anybody. I got a nonprofit organization. I started in January 23. That's what Project 24 is. And we do a lot of speaking. We do a lot of community involvement. We do a lot of sharing. Even the shit I'm doing in this great purge of 24 is all going to get donated. So I don't really care what people think, because it's funny. And on a reel I posted this morning, whenever anybody's listening to this, that would have been Friday morning. And you said, I think it was like wasting your life or waiting for the weekend. Something like that. It was a quote. And I said, man, I do this every day. And you know how it is. And when we connected a year ago, it was really, I know somebody just doesn't get out of high school, get into a marriage or typical tradition, whatever that is, and just start jumping into life coaching, business coaching. You know, you,
now you have to
took
live
a
life.
Risk. You took a yes.
The hard way, probably.
You took a risk somewhere. So it always intrigued me to say, yeah, I mean, this is a person that has a passion, sees a vision, and says, I'm just going to go for it. So how did you were in corporate, yes?
Yeah, right out of college, I worked for 8 years in new business development and corporate sales and marketing for major hotel brands. Fucking hated it. Gave me an ulcer. It was so stressful.
What didn't you like about it?
It was very the rat race. It was like stepping on people just to get to the top. I did a lot of cold calling, which I could probably kill now, but then at 23, I had no idea what I was doing. I worked for a company that did rock and roll marathon stuff, which not a runner, but liked that environment. So I got a lot of like training in sales and just kind of the back end of the business, but got laid off of one job back when the 2008 recession hit and really wanted to focus on family. So went back to restaurant work, which I loved. It was very part-time, good money at 25, and wanted to focus on growing a family. And that was that took a little bit of a turn. Didn't quite happen for as easily for me. And
Go ahead, get into it. Yeah, always.
Yeah. Okay, so started trying to have kids right after I got married, and it took us about a year. And then I got pregnant. He was in the military, so he was very rarely around. So found out I was pregnant alone and went to most of the appointments. And some of those appointments had extra ultrasounds involved with them. And we found out there was a problem with the baby. And at 16 weeks pregnant, I had a late term miscarriage. And I remember it's a really out of body experience, but that was the first time I had what I would consider to be big T trauma. I probably have little T traumas up to that point, but that was like a very pivotal moment in my life. And through that experience was the first time I started having panic attacks, started going to therapy and recognizing that, like, hey, that thing that you feel is called anxiety. It has a name for it. And here's the symptoms of it and what you feel. So that really kind of started me understanding how I was feeling, because I just had no awareness prior to that. And it was through kind of healing through that, deciding to say, screw all the expectations. And I think this is like a big piece that I thought I was following what my parents wanted me to do and go to college and get married and have a family and working mid-level management in the corporate world. And my dad was, you know, kind of an entrepreneur for State Farm. So I thought I was just following that path. And now all of a sudden my path shifted. So I felt like I had the small window of time to do whatever felt good for me and something that I wanted to do, which I always loved going to day spas and thought, let's go to beauty school because all expectations are off of me. And it was through going to beauty school and like working on women and being around women that I kind of started to heal myself in healing others and helping others. And so something in there kind of got a seed planted, but I was still very focused on having a family. And so through beauty school and being able to have a family, I think once I had my first child, I was no longer happy trading my time for money and robbing myself of a future with being able to be present to my kids. The number one thing I wanted as a mom was like, if my kids looked up at a sporting event, a school event, I wanted them to see me there. And so following this employee path just wasn't going to get me that, because I was always going to be under somebody else's say. And so I thought, what if I went and started my own thing?
So when you decided,
because why not have 40 bosses instead of one? And
you know, I know a lot of people, and what I love hearing and recognizing within you is when you listen to what your father did, you try to go down the same path, but you have a passion inside to serve others. Whether you talk about in the restaurant industry, you're serving others. In beauty school, you're serving others, you know? And you just couldn't find yourself not serving others. I see so many people that just chase the paycheck. They're not really serving others. They're just working their 9 to 5. Yep. And then before you know it, the 9 to 5 is done. And then they try to go try to find some fulfillment and purpose. And I'm so against that. I don't believe in that at all. And I think it's just because what we were handed and what we were told. And I always say, you know, even going into my 50s, you know, been by myself for almost 2 years. You know, dated here and there, and people I talk to, but nothing committed, nothing, just doing my own thing, doing this, how much fulfillment this brings and how much of a service to others. Because I look back and say in make-believe land, because we know we just have the present moment, but I'm like, oh man, if I tried this, you know, 30 years ago, oh man, I would have been judged left and right. What the hell you're doing? You're stupid. You're that.
We didn't have Instagram 30 years ago, Grandpa.
We had what was it? What was it? It was not 30 years. MySpace.
MySpace.
MySpace, right?
AOL.
So yeah, I would have been posting shit through like,
chat rooms.
This dude doing this? If we were a time traveler, just bringing this shit back to MySpace, we're like, how's a dude doing these videos? You know, but it's like crazy. But I think it's all about a service to others, and really, I think there's a lot of people, younger generation. No, I think younger generation now is looking for purpose and fulfillment more than just a paycheck. And that's why most of them are still living
100%.
Yep. 100%. And the older generation, you know, like my age or living older for toil, go out work. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're so happy doing it, bro. I see that. No, you're not. And I hear right. sometimes even at the gym where, you know, dudes would be sitting there with their kids and, no, you need to go out and make over 100,000. I'm like, for what, man? I mean, I look at my 25. I don't judge him for what he makes.
That doesn't get you much these days.
I mean, shit, we can make 40,000 on minimum wage. But it's crazy. But what I liked is, like, when you see a pattern of just wanting to serve others, wanting to serve others, wanting to serve others, that's, I think, where people get stuck, because they want to do these kind of things. They want to take a leap. They want to start a business. They want to start an organization. They want to work for themselves, but they get too scared because of what others are going to think. Period.
Right. Well, I think that's where rock bottom comes in for a lot of people, is that in order to change, you know, the discomfort of changing has to be greater than the comfort of staying the same. And it takes those pivotal life moments for most people to, like, snap them out of it, that you don't have forever, or you lose a loved one, or your health is risked. You know, it's these rock bottom moments that create change rather than intentionally creating your
say,
life.
And I even say it to this day, I'm like, some people won't change things, jobs, careers, paths, relationships, until they fucking hate it. They won't, you know, whether it's a weight loss journey, a fitness journey, a relationship, a career, until they just say, can't take it anymore. And you're like, why do you wait that long? I put a reel out tonight, right before we started this. And it was pretty much about following your passion. Don't fall off. And what I see is a lot of people, especially in my line of work, a lot of people that follow their purpose and passion when they stop receiving the paycheck in the form of, I'm going to retire. Now I'm going to go travel.
Right.
Why aren't you doing that now? Now I'm going to go start this.
Well, answer that. Why do you think that is? Why do you think most people wait until time or money dictates when they do something that really is
the latter half of theirs, or something that lights them up? Money. I think people, it's almost like this. I mean, I'm going through this great purge of 2024. Oh, the house is going to go. I don't need it. You know, the vehicles are going to go. Clothes are going to go. Furniture is going to go. Why do we need all this stuff that, well, just in case you have company over? Man, bitch, you haven't had a party in 4 years. So it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing with all this stuff? And if I can purge this stuff to help and serve others, it's what I'm going to do. I mean, the larger thing, sure, I'll sell vehicles and stuff like that, motorcycles. But it's like, I have no problem living here. I have no problem affording all this. I don't even have any loan payments. So the biggest thing is like, but why do I have all this? And I think a lot of people do it. Their beliefs and their traditions are society driven, you know? Oh shit, 100%. You got that house. Wait till you see mine. Hold my beer. You know what I mean? It's like we're not in coexist to co-create mode. We're in competition mode. You know, I'm driving to work, man. Literally, you think you're in the Indy 500. It's like everyone's trying to be faster than everybody and cut off everybody. I'm like, what are y'all doing? And I used to be like that. So now I can recognize that. I used to tell people, it's like, if you're commuting to work, do this. Go off in the right lane. I got pretty fast. Two things I'm bougie about, houses and cars. So it's like some of the friends I used to roll with in the past, it was like Fast and the Furious at my house. So I've had a lot of fast cars. So I remember when I was, this was last year, and you know, I started doing this thing and listening to a lot of guides and mentors, and they're like, you know what, just go into the right lane and just do the speed limit. I'm like, man, you have no idea how hard that is when your car can go 0-60 in 3.2, bro, you know? and you're like, okay, you know what, I'll do it. So I did it and shut off the radio. Go in silence. Okay, I'm going to go in silence. And I'm driving to work, and I'm watching all these people just in and out, cutting each other off. I mean, we're talking like driving from the Midwest of St. Louis on Illinois side going to St. Louis. And you got dudes in pickup trucks with ladder racks. And I'm like, these ladders are going to fly off. They're not driving a sports car, man. Yeah. And you just see people riding people's bumpers, rushing on the phone. And I'm like, taking a step back. And I'm like, I could only imagine what's going on in their head. I could only imagine what chaos is happening right now. So it really, you know, awakened me to a point where I'm like, you know what? I need to start taking things slow. I need to start using that time. How could I utilize my time in traffic? If I got a 30, 40 minute commute, just turn off the radio. There's my alone time. There's my focus time. And just, and I started seeing shit I never seen. I'm like, man, I've been driving this shit for like years. And where the fuck did that tree come from? You know, it's like, it's just crazy stuff you start to notice because when there's too, down, yeah. Well, when you shut off the noise, because there's too much outside activity. And I challenge people to this day, every day I speak to a lot of people and you're the only one that really challenges me in that sense, you know? And we've been kind of doing this for, you know, behind the scenes for about a year going back and forth. And yeah, sometimes I didn't connect and ditched you for a moment, but anyways, I'm still going
to call it ghosting.
Don't get so serious. Know. Not ghosting. People are, you're ghosting me. What the fuck are you talking about? You ghosted me, man. We're co-creating shit.
No, I noticed inconsistencies. So I pulled back.
We're
you want to be held accountable. Exactly. I want
to hold your ass accountable too. So, but you look and you think, you know, take it slow. Enjoy the journey. We're trying to get to the finish line. And to me, the finish line is what? You're going to the grave. If I look at people and say, you know, what's the opposite of death? They say life. And I'm like, no, you are alive. The opposite of death is birth. One's entrance, one's exit. You're going to go somewhere else. I believe in eternal life. But, you know, you're given this one life experience to what? Experience as much as you can, learn, be in receive mode, and be open. But when you're handed these traditions of, hey, you know what? You need to get a job. When are you going to get married? Hey, you ever going to buy that house? You know, I used to have my father look at me. I'm not afraid to say it. I used to have my father look at me before he passed. And for years, I went through bankruptcies. I went through divorces. And I rented a lot of times. I rented houses. And they were nice houses, real nice houses. And he would always look to me. I'm not coming down. And it was like 3.5-4 hours away. Well, I'm not going to come see you until you own a house. Well, but it's not yours. I'm not staying at somebody else's house. And I'm like, oh, okay. So
much pride wrapped around ownership.
I kind of just like that pure vision of this is what you do. And I'm like, I'll tell you what, and I speak loud and clear. If anybody's, you know, have a passion or a desire to start something different, don't buy a house. Put that money into what your passion and business is and go rent. You're not going to cut. Even if you have an apartment, condo, or a lease, you're not going to be responsible for those taxes. You're not going to be responsible for that maintenance. You're not going to be, and it's a lot. Even if you have a brand new house built, it doesn't matter. You're still going to go through a lot of expenses. And I don't think housing is, you know, a lucrative business unless you're buying big ass real estate where you have, you know, a lot of capital you can put down. I see all these people flipping houses and I'm like, the problem is you're not accommodating or assessing the time you put into it. Oh, you bought a house for 40, but you sold it for 100. Okay. How much time did you put into it? Again, unless you have a lot of capital and you have people working for you, but most people don't. And they don't factor in the mortgage payment and the interest and the taxes and all that. They just say, yeah, you know what? I bought this house for 100 and sold it for 150. I made 50 grand. No, you didn't. Add your mortgage payment up for 12 months. What'd you pay? You know what I'm saying? And on top of that, what's your time worth? So I think this whole...
Right. I get a lot of people in my industry who want passive income. And I'm like, let me tell you what passive income is. You do all of the work beforehand. Then you spend a lot of time marketing it. And yes, you make money while you sleep, but then you're marketing and fulfilling on that thing. There's really no true passive income except maybe in real estate. But I think it's that... when you spend so much time working and you're miserable at work, all you want to do is just not work. But when you find purpose in your work, it doesn't feel like work.
Rich debt.
And I think to your point of
slowing, no, go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish. Yeah, rich, I was going to say that because
you say when you slow down, like you're talking about with the car thing, and you stop getting the input of everything, society, parents, conditioning, all of that, you actually start to hear your own intuition. And I think that's where people miss. They don't know what their purpose is because they're trying to fill it with everything else. And it's almost like a faucet dripping at night. When you have the air conditioning going, the TV on, the fridge going, the oven going, timer, kids screaming, you can't hear it. But all of a sudden when everything's quiet at night, all you can hear is the
faucet. That's what I challenge people to, because that's like your intuition. How, and this is for a good portion of people. don't do meditation, don't take some time to themselves and all those other things. Mm-hmm. How much time are you really by yourself? You're at work, you're around your employees, you're in meetings, whatever your job is. You leave work, you're in your car, you're on your phone, you got the radio on, you're listening to podcasts. Please listen to this one. But if you're sitting there, I was just kidding about that. But you either have the radio on, you have noise going on. You come home, you're taking care of kids. If you don't have kids, you're calling your friends, you're going to the gym, you're around people, earbuds in, you know, you're coming home, you're doing normal responsibilities, household responsibilities. Then you turn on a show or two and you're talking to this person, you're talking to that person before you know it, taking the dogs out, you're outside, talking to neighbors, whatever it is, you go to bed. The only time you have to yourself is the few minutes before you close your eyes.
And you're just scrolling TikTok.
Till I fall asleep. And how many people do that? Oh, it's
exhausting.
Crazy, man. It's like you could sit there and I'll watch YouTube just to learn some things. I'll research some things. And if I watch a movie, it's more of a documentary or something based on a true story. I'm not an entertainment. And what I realized over the last little bit less than 2 years in the dating scene, and I'm not really even considered myself in a dating scene, just being single, just being with no committed relationship. It's like from Sunday to Friday, newsflash, this is what I do. I create material. I create podcasts. I create videos. I create programs. I talk to people all over the country and out of the country. We share information. We share routines. Sometimes I work on the weekends, but mostly Monday through Friday, Sunday through Friday, this is what I do. And I might take a break on a Saturday and go out to dinner. But then I'm sitting there having these conversations with the fucking wait staff just like this, you know? Like, hey, can you go check out my food, man? We've been talking for like 20 minutes. But it's what we do. And I wouldn't change it for the world because I think it's what a purpose is to share as much information as you can. And I hate seeing people in such a competitive mode. And they try to, it's like everyone's, did you ever take a step back and maybe have this vision or whatever traditions handed down, which is a typical conditioning of living an American lifestyle? Because I talk to people overseas, you know, from Europe to UK to Australia, and they say the same shit. Why does the West need big houses? Why do you guys have 3 cars? Why do you guys have 2 cars? Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm like, well, it's an American thing. You know, it's like, because we're all competing against each other, bro. You don't understand.
Yeah.
So it's.
Oh, I had the 3,800 square foot house in Southern California, the 2 kids, the dog, the marriage, the mortgage, I had an online business at the time before it was cool, and I was fucking miserable. So I had it. Like, I checked the box. The American dream, I was living it, and I was 40 pounds heavier, resented my life, didn't sleep in the same bedroom as my husband. Like, I was miserable. And so I'm like, well, this is
so you ever formula. Think like it's not the American dream, it's the American nightmare. It's like, really? I mean,
it's control in some ways, right? Like, it's a way to keep us in control of, like, you have to have all of these things and buy, and you know, we just kind of become, I mean, I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but like a cognitive machine. Well, yeah, you are, dear. Right? We're just,
I mean, that's the same thing.
And it gets, it's
I don't go too deep in the school system because God forbid, you know, I get a lot of people that are hammering me, but I'm sorry. Anything past even going into high school and going into college. Listen, you want to go be an employee and find a paycheck and a job. Yeah. Go to college. I'm not shitting you. I had debates with people that said, well, you're not going to make over 6 figures if you don't have a degree. Bro, I have a couple semesters of college and I make well over 6 figures as an employee. So that's a myth that was passed to you. Man, you're going to be ruined if you ever file bankruptcy. Bro, I had 3 and I was never ruined. So people speak to a lot of things they don't know.
Yeah.
You know? And I find it funny because.
Yeah, I never look at college education when I hire someone.
I mean.
It's not high on my list. I'll train you for what you need to do. I just need to know your attitude.
I'm not harking anybody that has a college degree that's required for the profession you're doing if you choose that profession. Even in a hospital. Right. If you're a doctor, if you're a nurse, if you're a PA, whatever you are, if it requires that college degree, man, hats off to you. Take that leap. You're doing it for a service. You're doing it for serving others. That's great. But I also find that people that sometimes are having those degrees judge others that don't, and they just base it on the information that they were given but never experienced it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. How many people are not using their degrees?
I know a lot. I talk to a lot.
I got it in criminal justice.
I have talked to a lot of people nationwide, especially in the college system, that will even come on and speak to say, I don't even do what I went to college for.
Yet they're still paying off the student loans.
So I encourage it if it's a true passion that they want to. I always tell people, especially, you know, my sons, it's like if you have – follow what your – first of all, decide what you – how you want to live. I'm never going to tell you go make six figures. How do you want to live? My oldest loves to travel, loves to go on trips, love to go to concerts. He lives with his boyfriend, not even 10 minutes from my house in an apartment they rent. They share one car. He doesn't even want to drive, so don't. He works in town. Great, great restaurant in town. He loves the service industry. He's really into creating, very proud of him. Talked great relationship with him, always constantly, you know, sharing things with him. He's got that creative side, which I love. You happy? Fucking A, right he is. And I'm like, okay, you don't need to make X amount of money to make me mad. Bro, live your life. You know, live your experience. Yeah. Go travel. Go. I mean, this dude, I mean, he was going from Miami. Hey, what you got going on? I'll be in Chicago this weekend. Okay, cool. What you got going on? I think June we're going to Spain. Okay, cool. Maybe I'll fly out there and meet you there. Yeah, I'm going back down to Florida. Yeah, we're going to Tennessee. And I get all his freaking text messages and videos. And I'm like, dude, just be safe, you know? But he's living his best life. And I was having this conversation today in the office. And it was like, me and the population, majority of the population, look at things different. How do you look at, here's a big thing. Yeah. We're talking about traditions. We're talking about generational curses. We'll roll this into, how do you define wealth and success? What's wealth to you? I had somebody saying, well, having enough money to do anything I want. And I said, okay, what's interesting. Enough? So do you think Bill Gates can do anything he wants right now? Do you think Elon Musk can do anything he wants right now? Do you think he can come to my town right now and just go to the local Hardee's and have a burger? No. Do you think he can walk into any mall he wants? No, unless he has his entourage. Everyone's going to know who he is. So it's like, how do you define wealth? Well, if you look at the dictionary definition of wealth, what is it? It is money, assets, or resources, an abundant amount of money, assets, and resources. If you look at what you do business-wise, you look at what I do organization and business-wise, fuck, I got an abundant amount of resources. We know people all over the country that are in various fields, you know? And then when you start looking at money, what's money going to buy? Money's not going to buy you spirituality. Money's not going to buy you understanding. It's not going to buy you compassion and empathy. It's not going to buy you communication. It's not going to buy you.
If money was the key to happiness,
oh my God,
then celebrities and all the famous issues. People wouldn't have suicides, divorces, correct. Right? Like it would just solve all the world's problems.
Right there in my world, you know, because it's only our own little individual worlds, money's not it. Assets? Well, great Purge of 24. That's all I can say, you know?
Come on. He's got spices, you guys. If you want some spices, get Dominic. Anybody wants
it? I don't know why I have four open containers of smoked paprika. I don't know what the hell was going on at that party, but I got a lot of it. So, and I did keep all the cayenne. Pepper because I think I had like four of those or five of those. So I'm going to try to merge it all in one container. But yeah, you're like, okay. And then what else you got? Resources. I do it at work all the time. It's like you look at somebody and you're like, how resourceful are you? And it's crazy when you ask these questions because people respond with, oh, well, I'm kind of, you know, like an independent. No, bro, listen, I'm not talking about you. What kind of resources do you have external to you? See, and I'll explain this. Wealth and success. Wealth to me and wealthy is an abundant amount of resources, endless, you know, that, oh shit, Tara, you need what? You know, you always see it in the Seinfeld episodes, you know, Kramer, I got a guy, you know, it's like, I know a guy. Oh, you need what? I got a guy. It was like in, what was that movie with Jeff Bridges? The Big Lebowski, if you saw that one, you know, the,
you might have been a little young.
What's that? Shut up. No, you weren't. Been a little young. So it's like that, you know, it's a funny movie. I fucking love that movie. But it's like when a guy's like, there was this girl that was faking a kidnap, and he's like, they sent me her toe. And I remember the guy looking at her, you want a toe? I got a guy. I can get you a toe in 2 hours. I'm like, oh shit, that's resourcefulness, man. This guy's got mad resources. He's wealthy. He does. He's got a lot of resources. So, and then you think, what is success? Success is, to me, is freedom. Yeah. You're not tethered to anything. And I'm not talking relationships. I'm talking, you're not tethered to a paycheck. I really believe that, you know, rich dad, poor guy, rich dad, poor dad is what I was getting at, because, you know, when he was having his rich dad teach him, he said, you're going to work for me, but I'm not going to pay you. And you're going to learn from me, but I'm not going to pay you. And the reason why is because once I pay you, you start thinking like an employee. And it's a true story. We accept that first paycheck. We have this promise of another one. We have this promise of benefits. And we take it. And then we build our own prison in the form of a house. And you hear it all the time. Hey, man, I'm looking about ditching everything I got, bro. And I'm actually just going to travel. I'm going to get a piece of little property here. But most of the time, I'm not going to be around. Oh, man, it must be nice, man, because I got the house and the job. And you hear it all the time. Yeah, dude, I'm going to go drive Pacific Coast Highway, Big Sur Mountain, you know, Alaska Highway. Oh, man, must be lucky, man, because, you know, I can't do it, man. I got the job and the house and... You hear it all the time. And then most of them do it when they're in their 60s, and then they only do it for 10 years. And I'm thinking, like, why don't you do it now? Why can't you do it now?
Well, then they can't even enjoy it because their body's breaking down because of all the stress they've had for 40 years of a career they hated. So they can't even enjoy the time and travel in their
sort of like full circle. We call that thing anxiety. You think so? I always think
that's
like
what the clinical diagnosis.
You know, I'll tell you what,
is.
You follow Sad Guru at some point. You know who he is. I follow Sad Guru very much. Mm-hmm. And it's great because he said this one thing, and he said, stress management, big in the West. Why do you want to manage stress? Why don't you eliminate it? You know, and I always say this, people are in relationships they don't want to be in. There's so many things they want to say to their family, they won't say it. They work jobs they don't even want to work. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? And the reason why, well, I can't quit because of what? The house, cars. It's what are you doing? Yep. What are you doing? And
well, what's interesting, it's kind of like who you surround yourself with. And I think that's where this initial conversation earlier this week started for us, is because I know cognitively all this stuff. I have revamped my life many times. And when you are not in a circle of people who are doing that and you're not being held accountable, you lose sight of it and you start getting sucked back into that. And that's like, I'm still struggling with that. If like, I know where my purpose is and where I could be serving more, but you know, I've got bills to pay and I've got, you know, a car to buy and all this kind of stuff.
It's kind of what we were talking about yesterday. And I think it's in one of the clip, you know, that I'm going to put out tomorrow morning from yesterday's conversation. And it was, you know, I'm just going to sit here and manifest and do no action, you know, and it's like sort of that, but I'll tell you, it's what I've really learned over the years. Is, you know, all you got to do is just listen to what people speak and who they surround themselves with. If they say, yeah, you know what? Yeah, no, yeah. No, man, I want a business. And no, I'm going to build this and I'm going to start this. And then you just master the art of paying attention. And you sit back and you say, okay, not one. And I used to say this to my son, and this is where I really got it from too. Not one person around you has a business. Not one person. The people you surround yourself focus on surface level things. I used to look at my son and say, you want to make $100,000? Better not hang around with minimum wage. How are they going to get you there?
Yep.
And I just use that as an example because people always, you know, can compare to money. But if you want a business, it's like this. If, and this is where law of attraction happens, and this is where people fail. Okay. Yep. If I look at you with what you're doing and you look at me with what I'm doing, well, of course they, you know, communicate and co-create. I mean, they do similar things. Well, where were you 5 years ago? Oh, I'm sorry. I was a paycheck. I wasn't thinking about organizations and business and nonprofits. It was a wish. And the people around me had what? Marriages, relationships, and jobs they fucking hated, you know, and none of them read. Yep. Hardly any of them worked out. I can show pictures of 7 years ago and I look like a crackhead. So it's like you manifest what you are. You manifest what you focus on. And there's too many people that don't understand that. And they do, oh, I'm going to do a dream board. Well, yeah, if you want a car, if you want a motorcycle, if you want, and I went through that, but if you want to go somewhere in this life experience, because it's what you're given, all you got to do is look around the people you spend the most time at, where are they at and what are they doing?
Yeah,
because that's you. And that's where people have the hardest time. Well, no, man, you're bullshit. No, because this person's like this. No, no. See, let me tell you something. Like attracts like. I mean, I had multiple experiences, you know. Well, no, I mean, my family's judgmental and my friends are judgmental. Nah, you're judgmental. Like attracts like. You can't avoid that, you know. And people don't realize that. All you got, I said this one time. I think it was last year on a call I did. And I think she lives in Arizona, I believe. I can't remember. And she went through some tough times, and I had a conversation and I said, you know, you can, and women and men can do this. You can literally find out everything you want to know about something, somebody. All I got to do is ask about your best friend. So if you have a ride or die, if you have a best man, that's my bestie. I'm going to say, oh, you got a best friend. Oh, what's she like? Oh, you're going to learn every single thing about that person. Who do you spend the most time with? Who do you hang out with? Oh, I hang around with, I'm just making them names. Oh, I hang around with Linda. Oh man, is Linda cool, man? Tell me about Linda. What do you like about Linda?
Shout out to my bestie, Victoria.
So if I look and say, so it's like this. If I say, what is Victoria like? What's Victoria like? What do you like the most about Victoria? Oh, you're going to put her on blast.
She is curious.
There, had to interrupt her for a moment, and she's not mad. You guys have to stay tuned for part two, because you know Tara and I could really talk for like hours and hours. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue this with part two, and we're going to go into, you know, just who we vibe to each other, what we manifest around us, and in fact, in we manifest what we are, who we are, not necessarily what we want. So, man, stay tuned. I'll tell you what, I appreciate all the support. Thanks for listening. Keep being true to yourself, because I tell you what, as you keep going down that path, you will definitely release and reach your highest potential. Guys, gals, we'll all talk soon, man. See you guys in a few.